welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am to be with you. I really, really am. This radio program is being recorded for November the 5th, 2016, and I am humbly grateful that I get to sit before this microphone one more time and speak to you and hopefully be able to serve you in some way or another. These radio programs, as well as the TV programs that you see on our website at aspire.org, are all supported by you, the listening audience. My sponsors, who are very kind and insightful, generous to say the least, are the ones that make all this possible. And I hope that if you find our radio program and our TV programs to be of great service to you, that you will become a sponsor. It's a very simple thing. It's a lovely thing to do. You get some beautiful gifts every week, every month. For all of this, you get my message of the month. Each and every month will be sent to you, or you can download it from our website here at aspire.org. Or I'll be happy to send it to you as a, you know, CD. No problem whatsoever. You'll get to read my commentaries, podcasts, video casts, all of them. There are many on the website, many of them, and they're all there to serve you, to help you, and I hope that you will become a sponsor and avail yourself of these gifts. I really do. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I hope you will consider. Let's talk about free choice. That's what I get a lot of emails regarding this, and I'm going to be very blunt with you. At times, it's frustrating because people are frustrated about what they want and what they think freedom is, and all that other good stuff. So let's take a look at it. The first question comes from Richard. I don't know if we really have free choice. It seems to me that that's the crux of the American dream and my life in general. So, Greg, do we have free choice? Richard. And he doesn't tell me where he lives. No, Richard, we don't have free choice. I don't know where people get this crazy idea. Free choice. Really? Really? You are governed, I am governed, by laws and principles that we know nothing about. And until we understand them in any category whatsoever, we are going to find ourselves in a rut, in a place where there is nothing good that comes out of our life because we're ignoring the laws. There was a Greek philosopher named Epictetus, and he had the quintessential definition of freedom. I'm going to read it to you. Freedom isn't the right or ability to do whatever you please. Oh, that right there is a big turnoff, isn't it? Because that's what people think. Oh, I should live in a free country. You don't live in a free country. You are taxed up the yin-yang. You have no choice in any matter whatsoever, even in your voting. I don't know where people get off on this idea that, you know, when you vote, your vote counts. No, it doesn't. Don't you get it yet? Freedom comes from understanding the limits of our own power and the natural limits set in place by divine providence. By accepting life's limits and inevitabilities and working with them rather than fighting them, we become free. If, on the other hand, we succumb to our passing desires for things that aren't in our control, freedom is lost. Richard, we don't have freedom. You're only as free as you understand the nature of your karma. If you make no effort to understand the nature of your karma, your life is going to appear to be very frustrating and very limiting. Now, you have to begin to understand some of this, which is very difficult for people to do, because we like to think, well, I don't have any karma. I don't believe in karma. What you believe in, Richard, and what you and I don't believe in doesn't matter. The laws that are here exist, and whether you want to believe they're there or not doesn't really matter. What matters is, do I understand these laws and do I participate in them in ways that bring about insight? Again, from Epidus, freedom isn't the right or ability to do whatever you please. You can't do whatever you want. There are consequences to everything, Richard. Everything. So you planted seeds in your childhood that became the fruits of your adolescence. And then on into maturity, you took those seeds and you ate that fruit and you made more seeds and put them into the ground. And pretty soon your whole life is just the result of choices you made that you thought were right. And these choices are now reaping their benefits and their rewards and their stuff in your life. That's as simple as I can make it for you. You're not free. I'm not free. None of us are free. It's by design. The mystical, the mystique of the mystical brings forth insight. You can start to see the meaning of your own existence if you are awake, if you are careful. You and I are here by design. We brought ourselves into this world. We made this world just the way it is, all of us, by thinking we had the right to be free. We never considered other people. I call it the rear view mirror thing. What is the rear view mirror thing? Here it is. I watch people as they drive. I'm very cautious. Here in the town I live in, which is a town where people come to do vacation, we get all sorts of people from all over the country. And as I watch them drive, they park on the wrong side of the street. They do. Unbelievable. They will be driving along in the middle of a street and all of a sudden just stop for no reason at all to take a picture. That's it. They're not considering the people behind them. They're not considering what's going on. They want to take a picture. They won't pull over. They want to take a picture. And they think they have the right to do whatever they want, whenever they want. After all, I'm an American. And that's the way they think. Well, that's not the way it is, because there are consequences for stopping in the middle of the street. And if you're not careful, you can ram right into them. I see it all the time here. Freedom is not your right to do whatever you please, whenever you please. We keep making more and more babies, more and more people, and there is going to be more and more around us. So we have to be more cautious than ever before. You have to look in your rearview mirror. You know, that thing that hangs there. Women think it's for putting their makeup on. I cannot believe what I see. I think men just think it's a surveillance instrument. I don't know. They aren't any better. We have forgotten what it is to be courteous, to be kind, to be aware. So you have no freedom. You think you do. People like to think that they have freedom. We live in a free country. No, we don't. There is no country that's free. You can't legislate freedom. Freedom comes from within the being of us. To understand the nature and the meaning of our life in this world, and then to live according to that meaning, that substance, that karma. And then when we do understand that, we understand the limits and what Epidus called the inevitabilities, and working with them rather than fighting them, as he says, to become free. You have to understand the nature of your karma, the nature of your life, how you've put yourself in positions where your life could only be the way it is. It couldn't be any other way. Your life, Richard, no matter who you are or where you live, your life is just exactly the way it is and designed and handcrafted by you. No one else. And there are consequences to your life as there are consequences in my life. And to think that you want or believe that this life is free or should be free or whatever is absolute fantasy. It's insane. We are insane, all of us, one way or another. We're crazy people because we refuse to acknowledge what cultivates and makes up the course of a human being's life. We don't want to hear it. I want my life the way I want it, and I don't want to hear what you have to say, Greg, because I don't believe it anyway. Well, go on the way you are. You'll see. Eventually, you'll see. Those unfortunate situations that occur out of nowhere or seeming nowhere. And you look at it and you go, why'd that happen to me? Well, duh. Well, duh. It happens because we planted seeds, maybe not even in this lifetime, maybe one prior to this. Who knows? Whatever it is that you're facing, you're facing it from within yourself. It is your gig, no one else's. So if you're going to live your life, if you're going to live in the meaning of your life, you're going to have to find out what your karma is really all about. And if you do, then you have something beautiful. If you don't, you will miss. And if you miss, you miss big. Again, freedom isn't the right or ability to do whatever you please. Freedom comes from understanding the limits of our own power and the natural limits set into place by divine providence. By accepting life's limits and inevitabilities and working with them rather than fighting them, we become free. If, on the other hand, we succumb to our passing desires for things that aren't in our control, freedom is lost. Just remember that. That's how we lose our freedom. Please forgive me, Richard. Namaste. Oh, God. Americans, we're a hefty lot. Here's the next one. This one's from Judy. And she does not tell me where she lives. Life does not seem fair. Why do I have to why do I have to dislike my life? Why do I have to discipline my life? Why do I have to know God and love? Why? Judy. Judy, you don't have to know any of those things if you are not privy to them, if you're not prone to them. Inner work, spiritual work, is a pull that most of us don't have in our life. Most people don't have that sense of wanting to awaken and spiritually to awaken. Most people don't have that at all. They're not interested in spiritual awakening. They're interested in, how do I learn to get what I want? And that's basically what it's all about. How do I learn to get what I want? So I think I can be happy. Happiness is a quality of consciousness. It is not the result of the state of our life and the state of our living. It's far more than that. No, it isn't that life isn't fair. Life is not a game. It's not something you do and there are rules for playing the game. There are laws and principles involved in this lifetime, in this living. There are. They do exist. I am trying to teach them to my students. They have a great deal of difficulty with it because, like you, they all think the same thing you think. I should be free. I am free. You're not free. You have enacted, and I have enacted in my life, all of us, certain qualities and states of mind and body and proportions to our living that are, well, most of the time, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. So we don't have that state of awakening inside. We don't understand why we are here. You don't understand it. People just live. To live and stay alive as long as you can, eat and have friends and have a few good times before it's lights out. And that's the way people live. They don't want to be burdened with what they've done to themselves or burdened with the idea of their karma. They don't want to be burdened by it. I can't take that. I didn't have to be that way. Well, it is. And it will continue to be that way until something awakens in you. Something of the other shore starts to dawn in you. 90% of the students, maybe 99% of the students I have, are only with me because they're trying to find happiness. They think they can treat the work I offered to them like going to church. How do you learn how to be successful? How do you learn how to get what you want? How do you learn to get the golden door open and all that other stuff? It doesn't work like that. I am teaching you first what you have done to yourself, the limitations that are there, how to overcome those limitations, how to live within them as ways of freedom, and then how to ultimately liberate oneself. Why do you have to discipline yourself to know God and love, as you say here? Because the genetic disposition of all of us is not about understanding the nature of God or love itself. We live in contempt of our own heart. We live in the contempt of love, real love. We want love to be emotional. We want it to be something that we have great emotion with so we can feel good. Because the only way people generally know that they're happy is if they're all emotional about something in their life. You have to give them something to be emotional about. And if you say to them, love is not emotion, which I am saying to you, then they turn off immediately because they have to have something emotional going on. I am telling you, this is not about emotion. This is about compassion. This is about the ultimate freedom, which is disciplining myself to step away from my emotions, away from my genetic disposition, and into the state of love that really is there all around us. We are one only in love. Love is a sense of oneness, and you'll know if you've entered into it. Because the kind things you would do for your family or your friends or yourself, you would do for anyone. You would be generous, unconscionably generous and kind. To the point where people would say, you're ridiculous. Can you do that? Judy, can you do that? Judy, can you do that? Probably not. Selfishness is a way of life, and it's the way most people live their life. And if you're going to live in selfishness and pride and vanity, what can I say? I have never been able to talk anyone down from their hatred and their fears. Never. No matter how I presented it, no matter how I tried to show it, no matter how kind, forgiving, generous, you can't get people to leave their hate. And because they leave their hate and they love their fear, this is the way it is in this world. And it will always be as such as long as we continue to do what we continue to do. So there you are. Judy, I don't make up the rules. I only know from my own direct experience what is going on in this world, in my life. I lived in India. I traveled. I saw the way, the truth, and the light when I was younger. I saw how it wouldn't fit Western values or beliefs, and I sat there on the airplane. I remember going back and forth thinking, what the hell am I doing? No one's going to believe this. But here I am, 65 years old, and talking about it. So I don't know what to say to you except live your life the way you think you want to, suffer the consequences, and when you've had enough, find me if I'm still alive. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oy vey. Last question comes from Robert, another Robert, and I don't know where he lives. If we are meant to be free, why are we struggling so as humankind? I don't get it. Robert, it is because of my humanness that I suffer. It is because of my humanness and my devotion, my obsession with it, I suffer grievously. I can blame it on God. I can blame it on other people. I can blame it on the universe. You can blame it on it, but it's me. Life is interpreted through Gregory. And if I live my life as Gregory would have me live it, then it would be very limited. It wouldn't be of any consequence to love or truth or anything like that. It's all about not interpreting it through Gregory, but living through the heart, the authentic heart, not Greg's genetic heart, which is dark and full of selfishness and pride. No, the spiritual heart. I'll tell you how you know. When you are quick to forgive anyone for anything, when you are quick to give to those who were your enemies, you have done something very beautiful. You have crossed a line. You have made yourself relevant to love. People are not relevant to love because they don't believe in love. They don't live as love. They live as desire, ambition, pride, and vanity. They live in their own ideals of themselves and their own beliefs of themselves. So they don't really mature into anything other than what the self can be and do. It is a mess. It is ugly. But that is the way it is. So if you want to change your life, if you really do, Robert, you say here, if we are meant to be free, why are we human and living in a human body and limited by our nature, blah, blah, blah? Because this is the karma we brought ourselves into. These are the inevitabilities that are working within us, and we fight them. Being in a human body is not something you and I can control right now. But if you live in the confines of the human body with a sense of compassion and mercy, you set yourself free in that human body and you don't have to live as a human being. It's really that simple. It's really just that simple. I'm not going to have everything in this world that I want. I want love. I want everyone to love. My desires for life are that everyone find the love that lives within. That we live together, learning how to be together in that love, in that grace, in that gracefulness. But that isn't going to happen. I have to be the thing, as Gandhi said, that I want to see in the world. And whatever it is you want to see, whether it be what I'm talking about or whatever, you have to see it from the bigger picture. Is this a part of my karma? Am I here in this life, living this life as I am living it, in the state of my karma, in the state of my inner being, my innermost being? This is what it's all about. So when you are living your life, and you are accepting the limits and the inevitabilities of what is here in this lifetime for us as human beings, and you're not fighting it. You're looking at it going, well, There's something for me to liberate myself from here. There's something to change my life. These circumstances and conditions are fingers pointing to what I need to let go of. A lot of it has to do with let go. Once you do, and I've given you catharsis and meditations for this, once you do that, then everything changes in our perceptions, maybe not in the world, but you will see life, I promise you, in a very different place. Thank you for your beautiful question, Robert, and I hope I helped you, and please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or anything I can help you with, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see media. And pull that little thing down and it'll say, Satsang with Siraj, that be me. And go take a look at all the radio programs and you can email me from there. I'm out of here. Be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.